This podcast version of Soul to Soul has been altered from the original broadcast version. When you hear the word hypnosis, you may picture the mysterious hypnotic figure popularized in movies and comic books and television. This ominous, goateed man waves a pocket watch back and forth, guiding his subject into a semi-sleep, zombie-like state. Once hypnotized, the subject is compelled to obey, no matter how strange or immoral the request. Muttering, "Yes, master," the subject does the hypnotist's evil bidding. This popular but flawed representation bears little resemblance to actual hypnotism, of course. In fact, modern understanding of hypnosis contradicts this conception on several key points. Subjects in a hypnotic trance are not slaves to their masters. They have absolute free will, and they're not really in a semi-sleep state. They're actually hyper-attentive. Technically speaking, hypnosis is the induction of a state of consciousness in which a person apparently loses the power of voluntary action and is highly responsive to suggestion or direction. Its use in therapy, typically to recover suppressed memories or to allow modification of behavior, has become popular in recent times, but is still considered controversial in some circles. Our understanding of hypnosis has advanced a great deal in the past century, but the phenomena is still something of a mystery. In this week's episode of Soul to Soul, we explore hypnotism and mesmerism with the aid of our resident expert, Nicola Lane.
We also feature wisdom from Linda, inspired writing from Joni, and reflections of passion and depth from Niara and PS.
As well as a mesmerizing dose of inspired musical frequencies.
Let's begin proceedings with this inspired track from Evermore. This is Light Surrounding You. You're experiencing Soul to Soul on 98.7 RPPFM.
And we'd like to welcome to the RPPFM Blue Scope Studio and to Soul, Nicola Lane. Thank you for coming onto the show today, Nicola.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
We've been talking about hypnosis in today's episode of Soul to Soul, and you are our resident expert when it comes to that. Firstly, tell us from your perspective what hypnosis is.
Hypnosis is a therapy that helps people create change, and it's working with subconscious mind. So if a person finds it very frustrating, for instance, that they can't change over a bad habit like quitting cigarettes or overeating or cravings, even stress and anxiety, it will help get into subconscious beliefs and change over the patterns of behaviour. So it really makes it easy for you to act out healthy behaviours without needing to analyse it. In general, it's a therapy that helps facilitate changes that you're ready to make.
Now, a lot of people have a bizarre image. We were talking about this off camera before about, you know, barking like a dog and doing bizarre things on the stage.
Yes.
That's not what mainstream hypnosis is about. It's more of a clinical thing, isn't it?
It is. The hypnosis stage shows really just prove that people are highly suggestible and they allow themselves to go along with the process because there's a benefit of acting like an idiot on stage. So they would never pick someone that's shy and retiring and was resistant to that process if they didn't want to go up on stage. It wouldn't be a success for the show. So very often they'll have scouts that pick out the people that are the most enthusiastic and outgoing, and they'll pick those people, and then they will test them further on stage, and they'll notice whether they're going along with their suggestions. So they'll scale those people back. They might get one or two, and they know definitely that they will be highly suggestible and that they will go along with suggestions to cluck like a chicken or bark like a dog. So it proves the science that people are highly suggestible, which is right. Most of the population.
That's interesting. Mm. Now, are the techniques involved in the stage show form of hypnosis similar to what you do in hypnotherapy?
It's a wide range of different processes, so it's really dependent on the personality of the client that we're seeing. So there's a lot of psychology involved in even the way that we do an induction or what we call a deepener to get that person into trance. You've got so many different methods. So there's, for instance, mesmerism is a way of facilitating trance, which is non-verbal. So that's a way of using different techniques. There's rapid inductions where you might, it's like jolting the body into suddenly going into a trance, and it's not that relaxation type. So it's really dependent on the needs of the person in that environment. So stage show, they would do more rapid inductions to get them jolted into that trance.
Right. When it comes to clinical hypnosis, helping people lose weight and stop smoking, are they like the main things that most people use that for?
It seems to be the main things people think about, but actually when I look at the types of people that come to see me and my colleagues, a lot of it is actually anxiety and stress related. It's when you think about it, you either eat, smoke or drink or lose sleep over a feeling.
Right.
And so it's our job to help get underneath the blanket of behaviours to release them and to change over those patterns. Any bad habit is usually anxiety related on some level.
So rather than focusing on the habit itself, you're looking at what's behind that.
Yes. Because the brain is highly intelligent, and it will find any useful way that's a quick method to help that person feel at ease or comfort. So there's a lot of exploration in the process of hypnosis. So we use a bit of counselling, exploration and hypnosis, and we put that all together. And we might use other methods too, not just hypnosis.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So what drew you into it in the first place?
Oh, we've got a spare 5 hours, but I'll cut
it. Well, can you concentrate it into 10 minutes?
I'll cut it down to a very quick answer. Years and years ago, I was a smoker, and I'd smoked for 27 years on and off. I had tried every method under the sun to quit cigarettes, quitting aids, as many of them as you can think of. And at the time, I reconnected with a friend of mine who was a hypnotherapist. We were friends from way back from high school. So ironically, she was the one that hated me smoking back then. So it was rather fitting that she helped me quit cigarettes through hypnosis.
All those years later.
Yes, wow. Which is quite amazing. And I was really skeptical. I was desperate for it to work. I really wanted it to work. However, I had the doubt in my mind, and the logical thinking was, oh, how does this work? But I blocked it. And I just focused on the suggestions and what the hypnotherapist was saying. So when it worked, I was absolutely dumbfounded. I couldn't work out, how do you get rid of cravings? I was blown away by the results. And then before I knew it, I had forgotten about the idea of even smoking. And so that's what got me into it.
How long did it take for that process, like from the first hypnosis through to actually saying, I'm no longer a smoker?
Just took 2 hours.
Wow.
I was really ready. And I couldn't believe it was that easy. If I'd known it was that easy. In fact, it was that easy, I was actually swearing about it on the way home because I wished I'd been ready earlier. I can't believe it's that easy.
So you went from being absolutely fascinated with that experience. Now, a lot of people can be fascinated by the experience and not necessarily become a practitioner.
Yes.
Why did you go to that next step?
Well, it made me think, wow, if it does this, what else does it do? This is fantastic, knowing how much I struggled for years. And I thought, there's so many people like me out there that really struggle and are really sceptical. And if I'm sceptical and it works, then if I can quit cigarettes and change some pattern like that, anybody can make a change.
Yes, absolutely.
Anybody can do it. I was no one special. It's just that I'd made my decision, and that's all it boiled down to.
Was the first time you hypnotised someone like a nerve-wracking experience? Will it work? Won't it work? Did you go through that or?
Yes, because I'm a bit of a perfectionist. So I was thinking, oh no, what if it doesn't work? And it did. And when they said, oh, great, I'm a non-smoker, I almost felt like saying, oh, really? You know, I did wait for you too good.
So what other type of therapies have developed along the way?
A whole range. So, for instance, I don't know if you've heard of ego state therapy.
Yes, I have actually, yeah.
Well, that is psychotherapy.
Yes.
And I love that. That's fantastic.
Right. Now, are these hand-in-hand with the hypnotherapy or...?
They're complementary with each other. They work really well together, and it really is dependent on the client and what their personality is like. So suddenly if someone is sitting in front of me and they say a part of me wants to smoke and a part of me wants to be really healthy, then straight away they're already telling you that there's a parts conflict, and that just leads right into that type of work.
So there must be a stage, I'm imagining, at the beginning where the client first comes in, where you need to sort of analyse the situation there to be able to work out exactly how you're going to tackle that. Yes.
Yes. When people call me, I do a bit of an assessment over the phone anyway. Firstly, it's really important to know if that person's really serious and ready. If they're not, I'll send them away and they can think about it for a while longer. Mm-hmm. And the question is, people ask, well, how do I know if I'm ready? And you know you're ready when you stop making reasons and excuses to not do it. And the overriding energy is, I just want this result. So you'll stop using excuses and you'll be excited about the idea of getting that result rather than resisting it and thinking of every reason why it won't work. Mm. That's the psychological difference that's noticed.
So a person's state of awareness, if you like, their mental state, where they're at, has a lot to do with the results that you get at the end, yes?
Absolutely, because it's a two-way street and I can't make anyone do something they don't want to do. So if their decision-making's in place and they've made up their mind and they're ready, then it'll work beautifully, and most people, 9 times out of 10, will get that result. In the unlikely event that they don't quit cigarettes, it's usually some kind of underlying fear which gets sorted out, and that also gets resolved. But mostly people know that they're there and they just want it to work. And sometimes they're unaware as well.
Yes, yeah. I was just wondering, do you ever get to a point with some clients where you get so far and you think, okay, their fear levels are too great here, I can't get past this, or are there some that you need to refer on to other things?
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes I'll suggest perhaps maybe another course of action would be referred to another health practitioner, would be in their best interest. And that has happened where they've gone away and they've done that. Mm. And then I've had clients come back a year later and say, now I'm ready.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm always inspired when I hear a practitioner say that, because I think no one can be all things to everyone.
No.
And if you're open to saying, well, look, there are cases where I do need to refer this person, I think that's wonderful. Really do, yeah.
It's good, and we support each other. So I'll have psychologists that refer their clients to me for hypnosis, and then they'll go back to the psychologist. So it kind of works around the other way.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's good there.
We will return to our special guest, Nicolas Lane, later in the program.
If you would like to contact us here at Soul to Soul, go to our new webpage, soul2soulonline.com, and click the contact link, or you can email us at s2sonair@gmail.com.
And don't forget to visit and like our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/soul2soulrppfm.
This is Joni with her inspired writings.
Reach for the stars. Reach for the stars. Forget about all those scars. Those scars don't define you. It's time to leave all of that bad stuff behind you. The future is a clean slate. Hurry up. Don't wait. A new day is upon us. It's never too late. You can do this. Nothing is holding you back. Let go of that old feeling of lack. Love surrounds you. In this life, you will go far. Go ahead and reach for the stars.
To find out more about Joni, go to facebook.com/inspirationJoniO or see her webpage at joniortbring.wordpress.com. Or follow the links from the Soul to Soul Facebook page.
from Fleetwood Mac. This is Hypnotized.
Hi, I'm Liara Covert, and this is Soul to Soul Radio. Notice the belief exists that it is possible to pretend to be who you're not. Hypnosis has a person believe it's possible to lose the power of voluntary action, to be highly susceptible to suggestion, even manipulation by some external force. Many people are convinced it's possible to create a state of permanence in an impermanent dream as well. Yet what is actually going on? In reality, nothing happens. That's right, nothing is going on. In order to get this, it's necessary to take personal responsibility for everything, that is, every level of the unfolding. Onto the screen of the mind, images are projected. Memories of former projections also arise, allowing the illusion to fortify and renew itself. Pictures come and go like images on a movie screen, but only when light is intercepted by ignorance. It's easy to forget one is also the projector, the light behind it, and every element of the unfolding story, seen and unseen. As one sees the light and becomes it, illusion is disregarded, and emotion no longer controls you. As one heals the mind or sees through self-created filters, one no longer creates distorted version of reality. Look at it this way. Each human being is a creative genius. Any misunderstanding of reality simply reinforces this genius. To put yourself in a state of hypnosis allows you to forget who you are so you can experience something else. One's present existence allows for intermittent sparks or glimpses of light. The illusion of linear time actually has people believing that which is timeless can be measured. How can one catch a cloud and pin it down? To pay attention to ideas is to forget what watches them arise and forgets what is also beyond the watcher. Disregard all teachings, books, and perspectives and go within. This alone has potential to snap you out of the typical hypnotic trance state, to allow you to see perceived problems for what they really are, because you're no longer dominated by ideas. Only here is one in full mastery of every situation. From the moment one ceases to see existence in terms of the physical body, all senses of limitation dissolve. Fear, pain, and the search for pleasure all cease too. Only awareness remains. Synchronicity, the Buddha says, as you realize how perfect everything is, you tilt your head back and laugh at the sky. Enlightenment, then, is nothing more than a direct experience of reality, absorbing, transmitting, and being the light. Hi, I'm Liara Covert, a galactic traveler, author, and intuitive catalyst for expansion. I guide and empower people to tune into timeless cosmic wisdom and to unleash ever-present abilities. Visit the Dream Builders Australia blog, follow my Facebook page, and tune into another weekly radio show I do with Stephen Harefield, the American Monk, on Insight Radio. Infinite blessings.
Hello, I'm Viviana.
I'm Eric von Däniken.
Hi everyone, I'm Sue Nicholson.
Hi, this is Yvonne Tierbos.
Hi, I'm Liara Covert.
Hello, this is Brian Baru.
Hello, this is Linda.
Hi, this is Lisa and Trace. And you're listening to Soul to Soul
on RPFM.
Song.
Wisdom from Linda.
Divine love. From high above, it flows through me as I channel out divine energy. I feel the love which courses through. It warms my soul and it flows out from me into you. Feel the love, divine and pure. I send it out with full intention to bring to you immeasurable peace and absolute contentment. Blessed are we that we can transfer from one to the other, for there is no greater gift that we can manifest than to love each other.
Animal totems.
The dolphin. Open new creative dimensions. Curiosity, trust, playfulness, breath and water needed for life. Dolphin teaches to be free. Maneuverable, wisdom, harmony with surroundings. Dolphin brings balance, shows proper use of sounds and communication abilities. Dolphin teaches trust and shows the power of rhythm, and emotions may need some fresh air to release tensions. Dolphins bring newness and joy. Dolphins remind you to ask, are you calling to bring forth your wants and desires? Are you voicing and expressing your creative self? What are your words, thoughts, and actions creating? Dolphin reminds us to balance work and play and to let loose our tensions.
We now return to this week's special guest, Nicola Lane.
We touched briefly before about mesmerism,
mm-hmm.
And I know that hypnotism came out of the mesmerism sort of trend of about 150, 200 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Can you fill us in with a bit more detail there?
It goes way back, I don't know the exact century of when it all happened,
yeah.
But it's been used throughout history. So it started off with mesmerism, and then they found that their clients had a change in behaviour from the mesmerism. And they started to adapt more techniques to that by using language back to that person that was helpful in that trance state. So they were able to, like Ericksonian, it's very conversational and it's very practical, which I think is a great type of therapy, because it's using, say, for instance, your language back at you in a very natural, conversational way, as if you're sitting in a lounge chair just discussing it. However, the person is in trance, and so the subconscious mind is very comfortable around all of that, and it just soaks in like a sponge. So for instance, if that person needs to change a behavior, say with quitting cigarettes, you might put back to them in a conversational way about what it's going to do for them and why they've decided that they want to quit and what it is that's going to create danger, and you can have a discussion like we were just having a conversation.
Yeah.
That's Ericksonian. Yeah. So that all came about, you know, from history, long, long way back, mesmerism, conversation, Ericksonian. Mm. But there's been so many. Where did it all start? I mean, each different type of therapy says it started with our one, you know.
Yeah, right, yeah. So you're not the type that would sit there with a little crystal and waving it in front of you and keep your eyes on this sort of type.
Not if it's 100 years back.
Yeah.
No.
Of course, in the early days, there was a lot of fear too. They thought that these people were doing something to them, mm-hmm. which was a bit unnatural or something. Do you think we've gotten past that sort of fear now?
I think there is still a bit of stigma left, and I think it's taken a long time for people to feel more and more comfortable with what they call alternative therapies. Mm. However, it was the original therapy which was used way before modern medicine came along.
It's true, yeah.
Trance was used to help people with all sorts of ailments as well. So it doesn't just work with behaviour. It can also help with the body's immune system. So they used it, for instance, say in World War I and II on the field when they didn't have anaesthetic. So there's hypnosis anaesthesia, and where they had to cut off limbs and things like that. It was used with soldiers of war with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Interesting, I didn't know.
So it goes way back to those times, and all the way back to hundreds of years ago with anxiety too. They used it to calm that person's mood, but they didn't use the same language that we use now.
Mm.
It could calm down hysteria. Probably was more of a word that was used back then.
Right.
So through times, it's been adapted, say, in modern society with anaesthesia techniques to do with, say, dental anaesthesia, where a person is allergic to the anaesthetic and their body just won't accept it. So they'll bring in a hypnotherapist who will do trance. And in trance, the body's automatic nervous system will actually stem the blood flow. And I've seen it before where it's been used to tell the body's blood flow to slow down and stop so that the dentist can then go in and operate and take out the tooth and do what they need to with no anaesthetic whatsoever. So it's incredible what the body can do to respond.
Yeah.
And I've seen it in my sessions. I had a client recently that came to me for anxiety and stress and weight loss, or quite a few different things. And she suffered a lot of body pain from all sorts of ailments and illnesses. And she was in a terrible way with pain. And she was hardly able to sit in the chair comfortably. So we took her through trance. And in the brain, you've got billions of neural pathways in between synapses connections. So they're all pathways of, say, a different reference point.
Mm.
So her reference point of, say, body pain is in one neural pathway. And another neural pathway will have different information and data around what the idea of calm and relax is. So through the process of going through relaxing deepener and inducting deepener in hypnosis, she had no idea of the pain. The pain went all together while she was actually in the chair in trance. She had no idea of her body pain. So part of her brain in that pathway of pain sensation was able to block it. I've seen it happen over and over again. I still find it fascinating that the body and the brain can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does. It can get rid of cravings. It's a similar
literal
thing.
Literal mind over matter, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's switching to a different, like going to a different loop.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on one part of the highway, you don't know anything about the other part of the highway.
That's so true, isn't
it? Yes.
Yeah. Do you think there's a relationship between hypnotism and, say, trance channeling? I'm just curious because each of them take people into an altered state.
Mm-hmm. I think people can have their own unique experience whilst in trance.
Mm.
So whether their mind in the subconscious part goes into channeling something for them is their experience of trance. And people experience trance in different ways. You can't do it wrong. It's just your way of doing it.
Yes.
How you get to sleep and how someone else gets to sleep is different.
Mm.
However, you both arrive there at the same destination eventually.
Mm.
So I'll give you an example. I had a client that came to me for weight loss and she ended up going through a past life regression on her own.
That was my next question to see if that had happened.
And it happened. And she was going through all these different stages in history and I just went along with what her mind was presenting, what she needed to do to clear whatever block that was.
Yeah.
It's not our job to decide what we believe and don't believe in for other people. Mm. We just give them what they need in that session. And if they present certain ways in trance, that's their way of doing it.
I was wondering how often that actually happens for people like yourself, how often people do start slipping back into those past life regressions.
It's quite common to do regression because sometimes when people need to resolve a certain block or an emotional feeling, they go back into the regression of when that originated from. So people might go back to the very first time they remember that feeling where it all started in the first place.
Yeah.
And they'll do some work and they'll be doing some releasing and letting go, and then we'll be nurturing that and giving them a foundation of positive beliefs around it.
Mm.
And then they feel that's a resolution there and they can move forward now and they behave differently,
yes,
more positively in a healthy way. Someone might go further back in that regression and find themselves in that other century or different life. It hasn't happened to me too often in the 6.5 years that I've been working as a hypnotherapist. I've had it happen once.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Of their own volition. And I've had people ask me, do you do age regression? Well, to me, it's just part of the whole process. If that person needs to go there, then that's what we work with.
That's where we go, yeah. Fascinating. We've spent a lot of time talking about what hypnotherapy can do for you.
Yeah.
What does it not do?
It doesn't make you do what you don't want to do.
I'm glad you said that.
So no one is ever controlled. It's not mind control. It's not amnesia. It's not deep sleep. It's not me telling you how to behave and what to do. It's a process where the person goes along with the suggestions because they've decided it. So hypnotherapy or hypnosis is not mind control.
Right. Okay, now if people want to find you, how can they best do that?
So they can look up my website, which is thehypnotherapygroup.com.au. They can call my mobile number, which is 0409 185 551. And just if you have any inquiries, if I don't answer the phone, just leave a message. You can have a look through my website to see the different things that I do on there. And happy to have a conversation with you if you have questions about that, which I'm always happy to answer.
Now, I also believe a little bird told me here that you've also got a series of CDs coming out soon.
Oh, yes. I have a range of therapeutic CDs. So I've got ones from my mind management series. Mm-hmm. And so that's to do with easing anxiety and letting go of stress. And the other ones is a weight management program, which was actually developed for quite a long time, picking the top main issues that people have around weight. So there's quite a few available there. There's about six of them. Got a new mind massage series coming out. So it's a little introduction to it. And it'll help you sort of ease that mind. So very often we talk about, isn't it lovely to have a massage? And you think of all your muscles being relaxed and you feel really
I'm there already.
Yeah. But if you did that for your mind, then that would be very therapeutic. In fact, it takes about a minute of going into meditation to help your sense of well-being. So if you do 30 minutes and you listen to an MP3, and it wouldn't matter if you fell asleep because it still sinks into your subconscious, but it's just nurturing the mind in a way that soothes away any kind of intrusive thoughts. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, so that sounds exciting. Well, hopefully people will get in contact with you and grab those, because I know I've heard a little bit of one of your pieces there, and absolutely splendid work. Well done.
Thank you.
Look, thank you so much for coming into the station today and talking with us, and every success with your ongoing work there.
Oh, thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
Thank you, Stacia.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sue Nicholson, and you're listening to Soul to Soul.
What is a blessing in disguise? When a blessing is formally misunderstood, what is the misunderstanding of the blessing? It is simply a sense of well-being that all wish upon each one, because each one is as it is. So to bless oneself forward into its own soulship is to simply receive from within its core relationship as its own soulship as it is. Such complexity in its own exemplary effect, but effectually it so well means that as one so gives forward its own heart full purpose, full effect, it is then wishing upon another the whole effect of it all. And as all is one, we are simply saying to each one of us as we are. Please be free to be as you are. Please be your own soul ship. Allow yourself to float in all directional, purposeful effects that you so well wish upon yourself as it is. And as we each seek this regarding purposeful effect, we are then blessing another of it all, allowing another to find from within what it is to reign as its own soul ship as it is. So to bless and to feel blessed and to soulfully receive this blessing in disguise simply means that it's all coming together. It is soulfully receiving this and soulfully sending this to it all. It's getting it. It's understanding that as we wish so well upon another, we are simply saying to ourselves, job well done. You're getting there. You are fully feeling this wave of acknowledgement. You are wanting to share this with all. You are wanting all to feel this love emanating from your own being towards themselves. It means that your heart has such an expansion that easily it can allow another to have some of it, to share some of it, to be aligned to it. And as we begin this blessing concession of light, we begin to see it and understand it fully. And as we receive it, we begin to understand that somehow something special in us has been asked to step forward and bring to its own solidarity of light that it is. So to bless and to feel blessed and to be in receivership and to fully be in acknowledgement of this form of salutation of love and light is to fully begin this understanding of self-perceivable effect and to stand in its point of light, in its pointed light, and bring to it all your own positioning effect and saying to all, I have acknowledged this space and now I am beginning to accept it and fully defer myself towards its ultimate light as it is. So blessings to all as I claim this light as my own and fully believe in it as I am it in full perceivable effect from within my own sphere of self-existential effect. Blessings in disguise for all to fully receive as its own soulful effect. So now, step up to the plate and receive this from within your own sphere of self-existential effect and bring to its own what it is that you so well feel as its own soulful, purposeful effect.
From Simon and Garfunkel, this is The Sound of Silence. Well, that's all we have for this installment of Soul to Soul.
To find links for the content of today's program and to explore bonus material, go to and like the Soul to Soul Facebook page.
To find us on Facebook, just type Soul 2, the number 2, not the word 2, Soul, RPPFM, into the Facebook browser.
And don't forget to visit our Vimeo page, which is vimeo.com/soul-to-soul.
Until next, we entangle.
Namaste.
The divine in us salutes.
The divine in you all.